Scott Hall is an unusual young man. His father, Garth, is an assistant coach for the BYU football team. Recently, Scott asked his mother for a white shirt. "But you have all of these other beautiful colored shirts. Why do you want a white shirt?" asked his mother. "But Mom, I just have to have a white shirt," he said. "But why?" his mother asked. Scott replied, "I can't be a missionary without a white shirt. Scott is 2 years old." The story of the expansion of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints throughout the world is not only a miracle, but is as the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, rolling forth until it fills the whole earth. Recently, a California family driving through St. George, Utah on vacation was attracted by the unusual architecture of the St. George Temple. They walked around the building, admiring its beauty. Having a little time to spare, the parents entered the information center. Their two young children crossed the street to sit in the shade of a tree near our meeting house. A teacher calling the children into primary and seeing the two young visitors said, "Come on into primary." They went in. The parents, now finished at the information center, started looking for the children. After searching for nearly an hour, they saw them come out of the chapel. The father said, "We've been looking all over for you. Where have you been?" They replied, "We've been to primary." "Primary? What's primary?" "Primary is where you learn about Jesus. And besides, Daddy, you shouldn't be smoking." Their father just about swallowed his cigar. He remarked, "Let's get on our way. We're way behind schedule." The children said, "We can't go." "Can't go? Why not?" "We're in a play." "A play?" he said. "Yes," they replied, "and the play isn't until next week, and we have to stay all week for rehearsal." The family stayed in St. George for a week. The children rehearsed, the parents were taught the gospel, and the whole family was baptized. The truth of our message, the impact of its spiritual influence upon hearts previously prepared, is the greatest influence for good in the world. Senior classman Kevin Scott was assigned to preside over a dining table of 10 freshman midshipmen at the United States Naval Academy. Seniors at the Naval Academy at Annapolis not only assist in training new midshipmen in tactics, but also in courtesy and discipline. During the dinner, Senior Scott requested each midshipman give his full name, his hometown, and state. One of the freshmen answered, "Midshipman Ernest Ward Sachs, sir, from Salt Lake City, Utah." Senior Scott said, "Are you a Mormon?" "Yes, sir." "Does that mean you do not smoke, drink liquor, or coffee?" "Yes, sir." "Do you have a copy of the Book of Mormon?" "Yes, sir." "Have you read it?" "Yes, sir." "Will you loan it to me?" requested Scott. "Yes, sir." An unusual but friendly relationship developed with an exchange of books and pamphlets between young midshipman Sachs of Salt Lake City and senior classman Scott of North Carolina. Annapolis graduate Kevin Scott is now a Marine lieutenant in flight training in Florida. Newly baptized Kevin Scott is also the Ward mission leader, the spark plug of the Ward missionary effort. He is now testifying to others of the restoration of the gospel and enthusiastically encouraging our members to spread the message. Midshipman Ward Scott, now in his second year at Annapolis, is the son of a caring Mormon family, a young man who honored his priesthood responsibility. As I look at a map of the world, its vastness, its billions of people, and ponder the responsibility our Lord has placed upon the young Aaronic priesthood bearers, I marvel at how the Lord has placed each of you in families or special circumstances at this particular time. America and every country in the world desperately needs a young generation of champions. Champions of truth, of honesty, of purity, of high moral standards, of faith in a living God. Our Lord counseled us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. As you study the scriptures, pray to understand them and live in harmony with their inspired teachings. Then you will grow in wisdom and strength. You hold sacred priesthood keys, rights, and responsibilities. A troubled world is waiting to hear from you. What will you say? How will you say it? Will the world know that you know for sure where you are going? Paul taught his young friend Timothy, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Lord has placed in our hands the divine power and authority to act in all things, to preach the gospel and perform the ordinances of salvation by which men are sealed up into eternal life. You are different from the rest of the world. While Joseph Smith was translating the Book of Mormon with Oliver Cowdery as the scribe, they went into the woods to pray and inquire of the Lord regarding baptism. While calling upon the Lord, a messenger from heaven descended in a cloud of light and laid his hands upon them and ordained them, saying, "Upon you, my fellow servants, in the name of Messiah, I confer the priesthood of Aaron, which holds the keys of the ministering of angels and of the gospel of repentance and of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins." Joseph Smith received direction to baptize Oliver Cowdery and Oliver to baptize Joseph. Then the Aaronic priesthood was conferred upon them. The heavenly messenger said his name was John the Baptist, and that he acted under the direction of Peter, James, and John, who held the keys of the priesthood of Melchizedek, which would in due time be conferred upon Joseph and Oliver. You hold this same sacred authority to declare repentance, to baptize, administer the sacrament, assist the bishop, and to be concerned for your associates needing special encouragement. Our Lord has used young men your age in many miraculous ways. Jesus taught and confounded the priests in the temple when only 12. David, the young shepherd boy with complete faith in the Lord, met the Philistine giant Goliath on the battlefield. With a prayer in his heart, and unafraid, David took a stone out of his bag and, whirling the sling around his head, flung the stone at Goliath, and it sank deep into his forehead. Goliath fell to the earth. A young boy's courage and faith in God had saved the Israelites. Joseph Smith, at age 14, read in James, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him." Later he said, "Never did any passage of Scripture come with more power to the heart of man. It seemed to enter with great force into every feeling of my heart. I retired to the woods. I kneeled down and began to offer up the desire of my heart to God. Thus began the events that led to the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ, when God the Father and His Son appeared to the boy Joseph." Beloved young friends, much of our future rests with you. You are needed not to be weak, but to be strong. You can hold high the beacon of light in a darkened world as you testify of a living God. You have our love and encouragement. We believe in you. We are not out of touch with you and your challenges. We have walked in the same moccasins. We dated lovely girls, and no associations with them can be uplifting, wholesome, and a beautiful experience. Live so your memories can bless the full length of your life. Live for that glorious day when you will go to the holy temple for eternal blessings and joy. Resist the temptations and pressures of those who might urge you to stray, to use marijuana or beer or hard liquor. You understand how deadly they become to your body and then to your spirit. You must not succumb. You are different. Pornography, filthy literature and movies, vile language, and suggestive music is not part of your life. They can destroy you. We know you are maturing in a world promoting a quest for fun, excitement, material possessions, immediate gratification, and an attitude of do it now. Develop the strength to defer gratification, to understand there is a time and season for everything, and a maturing process that is part of God's eternal plan. We teach you of values and truths that are ageless and eternal, like duty, truth, justice, and mercy. They become the measure of decision. The straight and the righteous path is the shortest and the surest. Following the sensational BYU basketball victory over Notre Dame, Danny Ainge's father was asked if his son might break his baseball contract for a better offer in basketball. His father replied, "Danny has a contract. Honor and integrity are more important than money." Jesus taught, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Your character is yours alone to build. No one can injure your character but you. Life is not a competition with others, but with ourselves. We should each seek each day to live stronger, better, truer lives. Each day to master some weakness of yesterday. Each day to repair a mistake. Each day to surpass ourselves. Elder Howard W. Hunter's grandson attended tithing settlement with his father some time ago. The bishop indicated his pleasure in the young lad wanting to pay a full tithing and asked him if he thought the gospel was true. This 7-year-old boy, having paid his full tithe of 14 cents, said he guessed the gospel was true, but it sure costs a lot of money. We learn in our youth to pay an honest tithing. The Lord requires 1/10 of what we earn. If you work as a bagger in a grocery store, the money you are paid for every 10th bag of groceries you carry out to a car belongs to the Lord. Pay your tithing monthly or weekly as you are paid, but never be in debt to the Lord. Spiritual and temporal blessings will be yours as you carefully honor this commandment. Football came to our country town later than most. The school board had neither the money for equipment nor a coach. Then the great day arrived. Our high school principal, where I grew up, was finally able to buy 12 inexpensive football outfits, except the cleated football shoes that were expensive. We used our basketball shoes. And our coach was recruited from the faculty. He had once witnessed a game. We learned a few simple plays, how to tackle, or so we thought, and set off for our first game with Twin Falls, the previous year's Idaho state champions. We dressed and went out on the field to warm up. Their school band started to play. They had more students in the band than we had in our entire high school. And then through the gates came their team. The 12 of us, a full team of 11 plus one all-around substitute, watched in amazement as they kept coming through the gates, all 39 of them in full dress uniform. The game was most interesting. To say it was a learning experience is rather mild. After two plays, we didn't have any desire to have the ball. And so we would kick it. And soon they would score. When they got the ball, they would run a baffling play and score. Our problem was to get rid of the ball. It was less punishing. In the final minutes of the game, they became a little reckless. A wild pass fell into the arms of Clifford Lee, who was playing halfback with me. He was startled, not knowing for sure what to do until he saw the Dallas Cowboys thundering after him. Then he knew what to do. He was fast. He wasn't running for points, but he was running for his life. Clifford made a touchdown. 6 points went up on the board. The final score, 106-6. We really didn't deserve the 6 points. But with our torn shirts and socks and bruises, we took them anyway. A learning experience? Of course. An individual or a team must be prepared. In all things, success depends upon previous preparation. My father had been our bishop, but he died before I received the priesthood. I remember so clearly being ordained a deacon. A new world opened up for me. I was now living on a higher plane. As I would hear people say, "You hold the priesthood," it was not easy to fully comprehend. But with humble teachers, we began to understand that as deacons, we had been given blessings and authority to do sacred things. As quorum officers, we accounted for all of our members and would see that they were all at church. We enjoyed being together. We chopped wood for the elderly and the widows. We filled the coal bins at church, cleaned the meeting house every Saturday. We swept the steps. We raked the gravel yard. We saw that the sacrament trays and the lace sacrament cloths were clean and fresh, and we had real pride in the appearance of our little meeting house. We were part of the church, and the church was part of us. We knew it. We felt it. We held the priesthood of God. Understanding teachers guided and helped us broaden our vision and our ever-expanding role as young men, but more important, to prepare us to be called in our youth to be servants of our Savior. He needs every one of you young men who hold the priesthood. I testify that this work is true. I do it humbly in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.